Well, okay, wonderful. So just for the heck of it, we'll go around and do quick introductions. Dawn, start with you.
Hello, Don Henning, Assistant City Engineer. Help out with the council.
Raphael, you're muted. Still muted.
Raphael, Director of Environmental Health.
Thank you. Chris. Must have stepped away. That,
I'm here, sorry, I was doing emails. Chris Ozick, Urban Resource Initiative. Thank you.
Thanks. Anstress.
Awesome. Urban Design League.
Florestine.
Hi, Florestine, a member, EAC member.
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy Fay, EAC member.
Giovanni.
Hello, I'm Giovanni Zinn. I'm the city engineer and ex officio member of the council.
Alder Steve Winter.
Hi, Stephen Winter, the aldermanic representative on the council.
Jacob Robison.
Jacob Robison, city planning department.
Sorry, I do that every time, Robison. I apologize. Jeannie Dubino.
Hi, Jeannie Dubino, concerned citizen, especially about the use of lawn care chemicals and many other environmental issues.
Debbie Elkin.
Same with me, concerned citizen, concerned.
Great. Lynn Bonnet.
Hi, this is Lynn. I'm attending as a resident.
Great. Thank you all for coming. So I don't know if you had time to glance at all the reminders about meetings coming up in our documentation, but you should all go to as many as possible. And Jacob Robison and his department are having one at 6 o'clock. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So the comprehensive plan, as some of you know and participated in last time, the current one is set to expire essentially in 2025. And we have the task of planning the next 10 years of the city between 2025 and 2035 right now. So we're at the very beginning of the process at this point. We imagine actually getting started in developing the plan next year, and we're holding a general interest meeting tonight to educate interested parties about the process of the plan through 2025, and particularly next year, where we'll be doing a large feedback campaign.
Great. But this is not the only opportunity at 6 o'clock tonight to start participating in this plan, right?
To start participating in the plan, yes. I mean, it's not necessarily participation per se. It's more of an informational meeting, as we're not developing the plan just yet.
But so we can all get involved later if we're still talking about environmental issues this evening while you're meeting.
Yes, there's. Right. It's not confirmed yet, but there's likely going to be another informational meeting next month, not on the day of the EAC meeting.
Thank you. Good. We've been joined by Kevin and Diane Buxbaum. Kevin, would you like to introduce yourself? Okay. Well, I don't know who Kevin is, but if at some point you want to introduce yourself, just let us know, or you can type something in the chat. Diane Buxbaum, welcome. Glad you're here. You can unmute yourself and introduce yourself.
I'm Diane Buxbaum. I'm a new immigrant to New Haven. I'm living here on West Rock Avenue, and I'm very interested in environmental issues. I have a background. I worked at EPA in Region 2 for 23 years, and my educational background is public health and environmental science. I'm very interested in any environmental issue. I right now I'm serving on the community advisory group in my other location, which is Brooklyn. We have been since 2010 trying to help get the Gowanus Canal, which is a Superfund site, cleaned up. And I'm very involved with that. And I hope to become more involved in my new home in New Haven.
Great. We are happy to have you here, and we hope you will become more involved too, since we know you have a lot of experience and knowledge you can share with us. So we're gonna start with a vote on the minutes of the September meeting. I hope by now, Doreen already told me she reviewed them, but I hope everyone had a chance to review them. Tell me if we're just going to take a vote for approval. So can I hear a motion for approval of the minutes of the September 7th meeting?
So moved.
Thank you, Kathy.
Second.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, all those in favor, let's see. Florestine, I'm starting with you.
Yes, yes, in favor.
Okay, Kathy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
And I vote in favor, good. The minutes are approved. So thank you very much. All right, I want to, we need to do a little bit
Okay, my name is Laura Kahn. I chair the Environmental Advisory Council.
Who just did that? Whoever that is, can you turn it off?
Are starting with Jacob.
Hi, Jacob Robinson.
All right,
project manager.
Debbie, is that you? Or Anstris or Florestine, who's ever not?
Jeff?
No, I haven't touched anything.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. So for logistical purposes, since we have some things that come up between meetings and we take e-votes if there are issues that are already on our radar screen. And in consulting with the Corporation Council of the City, I was told that would be okay. So we took an e-vote this month about a request to the City Plan Commission to hold a public hearing about a proposal for an artificial turf field at Wilbur Cross High School. And I filed an intervener request just from myself because I didn't feel comfortable taking an e-vote on such thing without having had a protocol to go with it. And even if the whole EAC wanted to be an intervener, we would have to choose one designee. So I just want to say that if the whole Environmental Advisory Council wants to file an intervener petition, we can do that now if you feel it's in our interest. And we can do that anytime in the future. And just let me know, somebody, if anyone feels that all of us, that as a council, we need to be an intervener, because one of the city plan commissioners asked if it was just me filing to intervene or if it was our whole council. And I just didn't want the intervener petition to get kicked out because of legality issues, you know. Anyway, so I suggest that at our January meeting, we codify the procedure for voting on issues that come up between meetings on which we take e-votes. And I don't know the specific language for that, but I'm sure there is language and I'm sure we can deal with it. So if that's okay with everyone, we will do that in January. Yes, Giovanni.
Oh, I would suggest that we have someone from court counsel come to the next meeting just to make sure that, I mean, I'm on other commissions and that all sounds very odd, to be honest with you,
with
the FY rules. You essentially have a quorum if you're voting on email. And that's, something that you have to make sure that is, I think it could be problematic potentially. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to do business in any way that's legally possible, but I just want to be careful. Obviously, this matter about Wilbur Cross is, the city is not going to sue itself, right? So that's not really what's at point here. But there are other items that we've had in the past where the Environmental Advisory Council has been a strong advocate and also, I believe, taken votes, whether over email or in person. A certain trash facility comes up, for example. I would suggest that in order to make sure that doesn't expose the council and the city to liabilities in future events, that we really make sure that court counsel is here to make it very clear what is allowed and what is not allowed. Because, holding votes over email that are private, that, don't include necessarily even all of the members of the council, let alone the public, can be quite problematic.
Okay. So we would never do that about an issue we hadn't already dealt with. Just to be clear, I would never do that. But Catherine Lamar, who is from the Corp Counsel's office, often attends our meetings. She is homesick today, so she did not attend this meeting. But yes, I agree. We would not do it without consulting.
And I'm happy to reach out to Catherine, ask her to come to the next meeting to address this. I you guys are a very important advocacy voice within the city. I want to make sure that it isn't something small and procedural that trips up the city on an environmental issue in the future.
Me too. Thank you for that input. Okay, so another logistics thing is, since we now have audio recordings and saved chats, I'm hoping, even I know we have not been dealing with much of minutes in a long time because we have no one to take minutes when Dawn doesn't do it. When Dawn does it, we are greatly appreciative and we thank you so much. But I'm hoping that we can consider the audio recording plus the saved chat plus the attendance list and the agenda sort of a substitute for minutes if it comes to that. Anyway, we can also take that up with Catherine Lamar. Hello, Jean. Welcome. This is Jean Connolly, who's just joined us. Anyway, those are just sort of logistic things we need to deal with at some point because we do not seem to be able to stop meeting on Zoom and return to meeting in person because of the way things are. Very sad. Okay, so let's see. For the next meeting, it's been suggested that some people would like a separate inland wetlands commission from the city plan commission. So I'm hoping we can discuss that at the next meeting, if that's okay with everybody. And another thing I'm hoping we can discuss at the next meeting is issues that we left up in the air with the Regional Water Authority. We asked them about about pricing and commercial customers, and they sent us some information, but they have a consultant who's working on writing a report for us, and they said Steve Vitko said that he would send the Office of Consumer Affairs to share their findings on rate structure and the rate settings process. My guess is that we have spurred them to evaluate what's going on there, which I like. And I would very much like to hear how their structures work. I hope the rest of you are in agreement. Is that okay with the members of, yes, Alder Stephen Winter is nodding yes. Oh, Florestine, you're nodding yes. Okay, I know it's a little boring when we have to do that, but I think it's very, very important because I think we need transparency and I don't think we have it. And we've been joined by Doug Housladen. Welcome, Doug, nice to see you again. Okay. So instead of going through every committee report, let's see. If anybody has anything particularly germane, Kathy sent you a bunch of information. It came out in the reminder this afternoon. We will include that online. Kathy, do you want to make a brief statement about any of that stuff?
I'm sorry, it's telling me that my video is turned off by the host, which I don't think is the case.
Sorry about that.
You got it? Here we go. Okay, thank you. Let's see. I just lost my page here. I'm going to drop a couple things in the chat. Some years ago, this council approved a recommendation that then went through the Board of Alders supporting community choice aggregation. And so one of the links, and that requires state enabling legislation. And so that state enabling legislation has not yet taken place. That said, in the reminder, there's a note about Springfield, Mass. Is actually starting one of those community choice aggregation programs. So I'll drop that link in the chat. And then there's the article that Laura put in there about renewables overtaking coal by 2025. That's a New York Times item. You may or may not be able to open it.
I did not put that in the reminder document. I left those two articles for you to put in the chat.
Okay, so I'm going to put both of those in the chat. That's kind of cool, renewables overtaking coal. Now we just need to work on gas. But then there's the things that did get sent out. Let's see if I can open those. The one is just another flyer about I Heart My Home CT. Feel free to share that with people. That's NHS's Home Energy Concierge Program. The other things that I sent, there's an event next week where we're partnering with some folks from Yale that are doing a report on or doing a study with focus groups with tenants and landlords and energy usage and energy advocacy and where tenants and landlords fall around this stuff in New Haven. And this is a mid project report back session. You're all invited. I can also drop that into the chat. I can drop the
register. That I sent everyone who got the meeting notice reminder today got
that. Okay. Good. And then the really important thing, they're all important, but the big deal is I put an explanation in this reminder that Laura sent out, but this is the performance-based regulation. This is something that you may have heard me mention before. PURA has an open docket. They've been working on this for a while, but they haven't gotten to the point of determining metrics. So on the 19th, they're having a public listening session where they're going to bring people up to speed about why they have this docket, how far they've come along with the docket. And just so you know, a docket is kind of like a court case, and they act kind of like a judge in that role. And so they listen to testimony from all of us. And so after they explain it and give their presentation, they will have an opportunity for feedback from the public about goals and outcomes. Metrics will be dealt with in 2023. So if you're interested in metrics, you know, the carrots and what the carrots and sticks will be about, you'll have opportunities to engage with that in 2023. So I think
thank you, Kathy.
I'm happy to answer questions if people have them. You can drop them in the chat.
I was just wondering whether we will get a notification of that meeting as well, those people who received this one.
I sent it this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
In the reminder email, which I sent to Thea.
Great.
If you drop your email to me in the chat, I will send it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we've been joined by Mary Woolsey. Hello, Mary, and welcome. And someone, J-S-H-E-I, if either of those people, if either of you and or Doug Housladen and or Kevin wants to just say hi, you are more than welcome.
It's okay. Kevin.
Sorry, go ahead. Kevin? Was that Kevin McCarthy? Kevin? Hello? John, are all these people muted by you or by themselves?
Themselves.
Okay. You're muted. Oh, hi, Sally. You're muted. You're still muted.
She's not muted on the screen, but she's not muted on the screen, but we're having audio issues, it seems.
Ah, sorry. Okay. This is Sally Cruz from the Port Authority joining us between meetings. Thank you so much for being here. We're getting to the season where we're going to count on you to make sure that there are no trucks idling to pick up salt. I know you're on it and you'll do it. So thank you. Let's see. Okay. All right. Let's thank you, Kathy, for all those interesting, very interesting things. I hope some of you will attend some of these very informative meetings. Kathy and I went to a hearing, a PURA listening session. Is that what they're calling it? A hearing about the UI rate hike last week in person in the hearing room at the Hall of Records on Orange Street last week. And there was not an angry mob as I expected, but there were some very passionate people there who spoke very well about electric company rates. And it was fascinating. I'm sorry it wasn't recorded, but the comments will be, there was a transcription, there was a stenographer taking transcription, and the comments will be gathered, compiled, and put on the PURA website, I think. I have a very hard time finding things on the PURA website, but Kathy's good at finding us. Okay, we've just been joined by Dubinoja, whoever that is. If you'd like to say hi, you're more than welcome.
Sorry, oh, that's me. Sorry. Yes,
okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, that was my fault. Okay, so let us go on. I had a very interesting chat with one of the pesticide inspectors at Connecticut Deep this afternoon. They are very constrained by EPA regulations and by all kinds of things about what they can do. And I also attended a statewide pesticide coalition meeting this morning on Zoom. And we do have to have a public hearing on pesticides. I know that. I was waiting to speak to this inspector this morning before I requested it because I wanted the reports from some meetings she had about a Yale overspraying of pesticides onto the property on my block and about a next door neighbor who hired an unlicensed person to spray pesticide in his yard. And anyway, we're doing what we can about things like that. We don't want our air poisoned. So I hope we can get the education out there that we need to get people to understand what they're doing is not good. Let's see. We will go back to turf because we have a lot. Yes, Anstris, your hand is up.
Yes, a question that I have, which we may not be able to find an answer to tonight. But I'm wondering if you have a public hearing on pesticides or other things that are dangerous to human health, would this be a public hearing called by the Environmental Advisory Council?
Or no, we submit a request for a public hearing to the Board of Alders, and the Board of Alders decides who will hold the public hearing.
All right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, we would request a Board of Alders public hearing.
Yeah, because I think a question, it's in a way related to the issue you brought up about the Inland Wetlands Commission, not like most towns in Connecticut, a separate commission. We don't have a body that looks at projects in terms of their human health impacts.
And yes.
And so this came up about the airport and some other things too, that, you know, for instance, if the City Plan Commission says their purview doesn't cover human health impacts, it seems that we need to figure out some way when those questions are pertinent.
But we have a public health commission, right?
Okay, so there, maybe by the next meeting when Corp Council is here, we could go through this. Could the public health commission hold a public hearing on a topic like that if it was requested, or the pesticides, or some of the issues that have come out of or ongoing with English Station, for instance? So I think this council looks at so many things in terms of human health that learning and maybe helping figure out where that track is in city government, you know, an effective, established, open public track to look at questions like that. Where would we go if we didn't be used?
You know, that's a great idea. I guess when we submit our request to the Board of Alders, we can suggest that it be a joint public hearing held by the maybe City Services and Environmental Policy and the Public Health Commission and the Environmental Advisory Council. We could make a suggestion like that and see what happens. What do you think of that, Raphael?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, great. Thank you. Very, very well thought out. Thanks so much. Okay, so let's see. Just in case anybody wants to know, there's a whole group of friends of every park in the city that has gotten together to confer with the mayor about sort of the structure of the parks department and all kinds of things like that. And they held a meeting on Zoom the other day, and they are going to be in communication with Gwen Bush at Parks about all parks things, about the budget, about all kinds of things. Giovanni was all over this one, and we thank him for showing up, even though he had just had a new arrival in his family. When was it? Within 24 hours of that meeting, something like
that. No, it was a week before, but I was, you know, I was with my son at basketball, so it was a little loud at times, but yes.
Got it. Well, anyway, so just so you know, people are working on the beautification and parks issues, and we appreciate that. And we will keep in contact with the parks people, Alder, Steve, and Winter.
On the subject of parks, I wanted to mention that the Board of Alders is going to be beginning the charter revision process. And in the communication that the board leadership submitted about the charter revision process, one of the items is reviewing the lifetime appointments for parks commissioners, which is really unusual. If you think about how short commissions are for most commissions, they're exceptional in that way. So I wanted to mention that as another point related to discussions around parks.
Thank you. Yes, so anybody who has a feeling about that will be able to chime in. I have to say, I've been attending various commission meetings of late and have noticed that while everyone is vastly different, it seems like all the people involved in these commissions really care about New Haven and about what's going on. And they really try to deliberate and learn as much as they can. And I really appreciate that. It gives me hope for our future. So, okay. So let's see, what else do we have here? We went energy, water. We will talk to the water company. Materials management. We talked to the recycling people last month, as you may recall. I'm hoping we can have perhaps an anti-littering campaign in the city with signage or something. I don't know who has the authority to do that, but the litter problem, it really bothers me. So anyway.
Can I just chime in on recycling and litter and materials in general?
Yes.
I was at a West River Watershed Coalition meeting this morning, and there's apparently tire dumping issues are popping up everywhere. Not just here in New Haven, but in some of the other towns in within the various watersheds that we're in the midst of. And so we are reaching out to Cheryl Baldwin at DEEP around that, but the EAC may want to consider if there's anything that we want to raise, you know, any, I mean, I'm just informing folks now, but if things move forward and there's something more tangible where we want to support something like a deposit on tires and returns or something, whatever happens, it sounds like I'm going to hear more about this as things move along. And if anybody else hears more about it, I would hope that they also keep us informed.
Well, you know, there is a tire recycling program in Connecticut, so you can recycle tires. People, in fact, that was it, the Mill River Watershed group said they had a volunteer group that picked up 50 tires, and they arranged to cart off 25 of them, and they called, or they reported one on the other 25 on C-Click Fix, and the LCI came to get them. So something's working.
Good.
So yeah.
There were 200 dumped in the West River Watershed, and they weren't just random. They were like stacked up neatly. It was really weird.
Yes. Steve?
I know on this topic, the figures came out for the first year of NIPS revenues, and the city has received so far $190,000.
Yes.
And other cities have begun looking at ways to improve recycling, litter, and you know, there's a range of things that cities have done. I can put a link in the chat to an article in the Register recently. But you know, we could also potentially look at supplementing work around dumping of tires.
I think we're already working on some proposals to the board of alders around that. You know, I think materials management may figure into that.
Great.
Okay, thanks. Great.
Anstris, did you have your hand raised a few minutes ago?
Yeah, all I was going to mention was I heard from Friends of Kensington Park that they have a court date scheduled for, I think it's March 9th, when they will argue that the park should remain a city park. and not be sold. So this has been a very long process. So when you were talking about the Parks Commission and its work, I thought that you'd be interested in that. The group is estimating they're going to need to raise $30,000 to $40,000 to pay for their court fees to try to save their neighborhood park. So interesting that that's how it's going right now, that our poor neighborhood is going to have to raise money to try to save their only playground. So,
okay, yeah.
What's happening there?
So that corresponds to Alder Steve Winter's remark about the lifetime appointments of the parks commissioners. So keep that in mind.
No, I've heard that the Parks Commission felt they didn't get adequate information from the city when they were asked to vote. And every one of them has said if they could undo the vote, they would want to.
Really? Okay. Diane? Oh, you're clapping. Got it. Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not clapping. I'm trying to find the raise the hand signal.
That's fine. Consider your hand raised. Tell us. Chime in.
I'm curious to know because I'm not aware. Are they privatizing the parks in New Haven? What? I'm way behind on this.
Yeah, this was a proposal to build some affordable housing on the park.
Not every park, a particular park called the Kensington Park and a particular part of it called the Kensington Playground. We can catch you up on that issue later. Right. It's not about privatizing every park in New Haven.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, Raphael, thank you so much. We'll get back with you later. So let's see. All right, what else do we have? Soil, lights, noise, beautification. Okay, we're going on to city issues because I think we've exhausted the committee reports, even though we haven't discussed everything every committee deals with. So I hope you all saw the update from Lori DiBella in the Attorney General's office about English Station remediation, and she sent photos. I hope that makes everybody happy that there's sampling going on and that someone's paying attention. We continue to ask Lori DiBella, who asks UI to keep after this. So anyway, we're on it. And we've just been joined by Sean Reeves. Welcome, Sean. Do you want to introduce yourself quickly?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sean Reeves, a community member, Duvalville resident. Wear many hats. I'm happy to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you. Thanks for joining us. Okay. So I don't know anything that's going on with the Wheeler Street lawsuit, but someone will let me know if there's anything the Environmental Advisory Council should do. The Bird Safe Buildings issue, the city plan department has not gotten around to doing text for an ordinance on that. Steve, you have your hand up.
Well, I was just going to mention that there's a provision in the Inflation Reduction Act for former power plant sites to provide federal loan guarantees, which means like really, really low cost financing for repurposing those sites. So it's something in theory that could apply to English Station. If there was a proposal for something that they would go to try to finance with that.
Even though it's privately owned?
Yeah. The developer could try to get a loan guarantee, or the city could work with the developer. A group could go after this loan guarantee.
Okay, great. I'm sure the developers will do that, and I bet they know about it because they're trying to skimp on spending their own money on anything at English Station. So yeah. Okay, we've already discussed. Dawn, is there anything up to date? Is there any news on the mobile dog grooming issues and the engine idling and the soapy water going into the drains?
No, if you see them and can get like pictures or specifics, I can call them out. I looked into like whether they had a permit or anything. I mean, they have business permits, but it doesn't seem like they had to pull or they're part of any other general permit for DEEP. And so I think if we see them or if someone sees them discharging into the storm sewer, we can address it kind of as we.
Okay. Well, I noticed they were in my neighbor's driveway yesterday. I did not, however, notice them idling or dispatching. Yeah, disgorging water, but I wasn't here the whole time. Next time they come, I will take more note of it. Thank you.
You got it.
Okay. Let's see. I have not done anything about the Circle of Life additional public meeting on the Hoop building. They, Edith Pestana wanted questions from us for them, and I don't know who's supposed to compile the list. I can't imagine that we have to do it. I don't know. I'll see if I can find out more information on that. And as Chris Ozick told us, the Buckeye Terminal petition for a public hearing about the leaking tanks was submitted. And now we wait for Connecticut DEEP to tell us if it's been, if we will have one. And I don't know what the law is on how long DEEP has to let us know, but if anybody knows that information, that would be useful so that we would know when the time has expired and we haven't been granted a public hearing, if that should happen. I'm hoping they would give us a public hearing, though. I don't know why not. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Buckeye has a number of facilities in New Haven, and so this is just for one of their facilities. And one of my thoughts is, why not have them all combined so that you can see the cumulative discharges from this one entity operating in New Haven and its impact on human health?
Yeah, okay. Yes. All right. Next, let's see. So do we know what the NIP money is being used for? It's supposed to be used for something to do with recycling or stuff like that. Do we have any idea what that money went for?
We're going to file to the Board of Alders about it, I believe. It's my understanding. So you'll see it then.
I see. File a proposal for spending the money, you mean? For using the money?
I believe so.
Okay. Who is the city is?
The administration is filing to the Board of Alders. We can't spend the money if it's not in the budget.
I see.
So the Board of Alders has to approve it.
Got it. Okay. Great. All right. So now we're going to talk about artificial turf for a little while. Kathy Fay had an email from a concerned parent of a fourth grader at Worthington Hooker School who said that their middle school was trying to raise $60,000 for a synthetic turf field to replace their grass field that they use for everything, not just for sports, but for picnics, for their talent show, for general purposes. And this parent was rightly worried about that. And we have another issue with a proposal for an artificial turf football field at Wilbur Cross to replace the current grass field, and the Environmental Advisory Council requested a public hearing on that, and it will happen next Thursday at 7 p.m. I encourage everybody to attend and to testify if you are so inclined, and if you can't attend, please submit written testimony if you have something you want to submit that's germane to the issue. And I think I sent out all the information about it. You can see all the documents the EAC and I filed on the City Plan Commission webpage, and I sent out a link And I don't think the link for the meeting, the Zoom link for the meeting is posted yet, but I'll share it with the EAC when I see it. Anyway, does anyone want to comment on artificial turf issues? Okay.
I actually do have a couple of comments. My experience with people who have, I have never had kids who played on artificial turf, but I have people in my neighborhood in Brooklyn whose children did. And in the middle of the summer, it becomes exceedingly hot and often uncomfortable for the children who are playing on it. And it also sometimes, I'm not sure, maybe always, I wasn't there, but it emits an odor.
Yes.
No, I don't know that that odor is harmful in any way, shape, or form, but it is an odor. But the heat in the middle of the summer was really apparently very uncomfortable to sit on and to be on. And I guess you have to weigh, and it's kind of hard to weigh, the maintenance of grass is hard.
No, the maintenance of artificial turf is also bad. And we submitted a lot of information about all this stuff. It's on the city website. And if you share your email address with me, I will share the documents with you. Artificial turf requires pesticides and detergents and water for maintenance. And it also requires grooming, and it only lasts about 7 years. And then it gets rolled up and sent to a landfill out of state. And there are many problems with it, and I think I've listed a lot of them in the documents we submitted. And there's a new Yale Public School of Health, and Yale Medicine paper about PFAS being in the layers of artificial turf. So that's definitely not good. And they definitely off-gas chemicals in the summer, and they're very hot, more 50 degrees hotter than the grass around them. So that's also not good. There are many, many things we could talk about concerning artificial turf, but there will be a public hearing about it next Thursday. I encourage everybody to attend if you can. Okay, we're going to go on. Let's see. Dawn Henning. I noticed that New Haven is not listed among the sustainable CT climate leaders. How do we get that fixed?
Yeah, I can take this one. It's a new designation. I think we actually probably, I was not aware of it, to be honest with you, when they published it. I think we probably actually would have qualified had we put the paperwork in. We're one of the top two or three municipalities in the state in terms of our point totals for Sustainable Connecticut, which is the same organization that does that. I believe next year they'll have a gold designation for the first time. So I think we're going to focus on that. We're hiring very shortly our new climate folks. So that's one of the things that they'll be tasked with, is working on that among many other items. So, I think it's a nice designation. It'd be great to have. I think in no way is our climate leadership, however, diminished by it.
Yes, it's just that there was a TV ad, and when I didn't see New Haven listed among the municipalities, I thought that was very unfair. And I'm sorry they keep making you do paperwork. It's absurd. They should just know that we are a climate leader and that, anyway. Yes, I know, Dawn. You think it's absurd that we're doing the work instead of bureaucracy. It's much better to be doing the work of saving the planet instead of filling out paperwork. But we need credit for our work, too. You need credit for your work. So anyway, that's my take on the situation. Let's see. I think Aaron Good and a group are working on getting New Haven back on the Connecticut Environmental Justice Municipalities list. There's a state statute change needed, Aaron told me. Pat Dillon said she did something, but that didn't fix it permanently. But anyway, there is a group working on it. Whenever they want us to write a letter in support of that statute change, we will do it. I forgot to ask Aaron where it stands right now, but does anybody here have any information about that?
No, sorry.
Okay. And Steve, I forgot to mention the leaf blower thing. I assume there is no update on the leaf blower language from the Corporation Council.
I have exchanged a couple of emails with Catherine Lamar, and I think the main question is who at the city would enforce. It does sound like legally you could say that as a class, all gas leaf blowers are, you know, disqualified under the noise ordinance, and then you wouldn't need to measure them with a decibel meter, but you'd still need to have a mechanism. Someone would still need to respond to reports and do enforcement. She said she met with DPW and that they said they don't have the capacity for enforcement. So I don't know. It looks like Raphael's not on. I was thinking we might be able to ask him if the health department has any capacity. I'm sure they're stretched in too, but
they don't.
That's the update there, if that's an update at all.
That's a good update. That is a very good update. That is encouraging, especially since I saw four leaf blowers in action on the same postage stamp size lawn a couple weeks ago at one time. So yes, and of course I took a photo of it so that we'd have it. How about LCI to enforce? That's not what they do. They're not going to enforce it. They don't. But yeah, I think it would be great if we could have all gas-powered leaf blowers classified as not complying with the noise ordinance. That makes sense. Okay.
Would it make sense to? Would it make sense to encourage people, like with C-Click Fix? You know, it's great if it's associated with the enforcement group, but in the meantime, since we don't know who that enforcement team might be, should we still encourage people to utilize C-Click Fix to report and just have it go somewhere where somebody's tracking it, even if they don't have the capacity to enforce?
That's a great idea. In fact, one time when I saw two leaf blowers in action at the Stop and Shop gas station in Amity this summer, I notified Raphael because I thought it was a real public health risk because the sparks could ignite and blow things up. So I think they do take this seriously when they have a reason. But the problem is most of the time catching the leaf blower users in action, and by the time anybody sees the information, they've gone. So yeah, but especially if anybody takes a photo of the people using the leaf blowers and a photo of the information, if there's information on the truck about what company's doing it, that's very useful. And yes, we should keep tracking it. Thank you.
And that and the best place in the city to receive those would be, you know, like that can be automated by C-Click Fix. So if that's going to be Raphael, C-Click Fix can make it that that Raphael gets notified.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yes. I don't know who gets notified from C-Click Fix by C-Click Fix about that issue, but I'm sure it's either DPW or the health department or both. I guess, do you have to specify on C-Click Fix what department your issue's for? I think you do.
You have to categorize your issue, and then that's what determines which city department receives the C-Click Fix issue.
Yeah. Mary Woolsey points out that Washington, D.C. allows photos or videos to aid in enforcement. Yes. We definitely, photographic evidence of everything is very, very useful because people can't deny things when you have photos. It's very hard for people to say, no, I didn't do A, B, C, or D when you can prove it in a picture. I wonder if we should, I'm going on to the next issue, extended producer responsibility for packaging. There was an article in Sunday's New York Times Magazine about all the cardboard. I hope our legislation, our state legislature will take this issue up as New York's has. I think we should encourage them to do that. I know we did not compile a list of priority issues from us to the New Haven delegation, but I'm hoping they'll just do it anyway. Hello, Iris. But if anybody has any expertise on extended producer responsibility, that would be great. I mean, I would like for producers, for people who deliver packaged cardboard boxes, to have to pick them up. That to me would make sense. But anyway. Yeah, Kathy.
Tires might be something that could go, yes. You know. Yeah.
But tires, there's already a protocol for recycling tires. There is no protocol for cardboard, you know, except sending it in single stream recycling, which gets glass in it, which is not useful. And so I think already people who put tires on vehicles, they have, I think they charge a small amount for taking the tires back, disposing of them, but there's no such mechanism for Amazon or other delivery services that bring zillions of cardboard boxes to people's homes. I should have found that article in the Sunday's Times and sent it out, but you probably don't want to read the whole thing. It was just kind of frightening. $2 per tire. Yes, you are correct. Okay, so let's see. The Quiet Communities Act of 2021. I still have to, I have to draft a response to the EPA about funding for ONAC. They said they weren't going to do it. And I think we should invite them to come and talk to us about why they are not doing it and see if they'll show up and anyway, answer questions. So I will do that. I've just been a little bit swamped. Okay, so new business. I'm always hoping we will be joined by Sandeep Isola to discuss things like motorcycles and ATVs and dirt bikes, the noise and pollution from those, and mobile digital billboards. Those are the things that drive around with no other purpose than advertising, and digital billboards, we don't like those anyway, and mobile ones just cause traffic jams and pollute. And anyway, I don't know what we can do about them. Perhaps we could suggest that the Board of Alders ban them in downtown New Haven, because they whatever. I don't know if anyone has any suggestions on that. I would welcome them. I guess I should take photos of some of them so you can see them when I'm downtown. I don't get downtown very often these days, but it's, yeah. Anyway, let's see. And loud car radios and loud sirens. Many people have mentioned those issues to me. It's noise pollution and it creates distracted driving, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how we could, I don't know how to deal with noise pollution. Noise pollution is a relatively new, something that hasn't been dealt with before, that people are now realizing is very bad. And I hope we can do something about it.
So, I thought we had, didn't we have a lady previously who was investigating that from New York, doing some kind of comparative analysis, like, you know, with, yes, New York and New Haven? Because my concern, you know, is like the sirens we always talk about. We live right in the Hospital Row, and they literally can rattle you if you're standing on the street corner. They're that loud, the EMT. But I thought we had discussed this before, and someone was getting involved in it. I can't remember her name. She was out of New York.
Yes, she is involved in it, but we have to deal with it from the New Haven,
right,
perspective. She dealt with it in New York. And
oh, okay. I thought somehow there was a connection or a collaborator or something being worked out where we were going to be working with her, or I don't know.
Okay. I will try and refresh my memory. We can't work on every single issue. Hopefully exactly. The Office of Climate Sustainability will help us with some of this stuff because there's a lot of it. But I understand that inside people's apartments downtown, the siren noise for those who live near the hospitals is very, very loud and disturbing. And even I've heard a lot more sirens out here in Westville than I ever did in prior years in the past year or two. And I'm wondering why there's so much more noise, why it's so loud, and what can be done about it. Okay, and let's see. I think we discussed everything. So anybody who wants to chime in about anything, please do it now. And anybody who wants to be added to the Environmental Advisory Council email list, which I do not share with anyone, please put your email address in the chat, or you can email me, or you can call me. My number is 203-397-2338. Lynn has her hand up.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to let people know that the Greater New Haven Green Fund has opened their application process for 2023. And the application is online. Everything is on our website, which is gnhgreenfund.org. And it's really for community groups that want to do a project for the environment or for sustainability. So I just wanted to let people know.
Thank you. That's very nice of you. And we appreciate your working on that. Yes. All right. So Pat Dillon sent me an article about artificial turf at OSU before the meeting. So if I can find it, I will share it with you. And does anybody else have anything else you want to talk about? Okay, well then we can end.
I'm moving to adjourn. And I just want to point out that often when we were meeting in person, we would have a holiday party, and we're not having that this year. So happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you. Same to you. Thanks for reminding me.
Same to everyone.
Yes. Thank you all. And we will meet early next year. So we look forward to seeing everybody then. And in the meantime, stay well. And thank you all for everything you do to champion the environment. I hope we will see most of you next Thursday evening at the City Plan Commission public hearing at 7:00. I went out of order. Kathy, did you move to adjourn? Was that yes. Kathy made a motion.
I'll move again. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Second.
Thank you, Stephen. Florestine, are you in favor of adjournment?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay. Kathy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Iris?
Yes.
Great. Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you again. Sorry, I went out of order. Wonderful to see you all.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Laura, I can't be there next Thursday because I have a board meeting with OIC Opportunities Industrial Center.
Okay. Thanks anyway.
But I'll be in touch with you.
I know. And your name is already on the letter we submitted to request the public hearing. So you already did a bit. You're a lot anyway. Okay. So I think that's it. Dawn, you'll stick around and save the chat for us since I do a lousy job at it. And we will ask the water company to come talk to us in January. Okay. Thank you all.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks, Giovanni.